What is up, everybody, and welcome to the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. This is our weekly waiver wire show, and I'm your host, Frank Costanzo. You can follow me on Twitter at FrankQBList. I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Heath. You can follow Ryan at QBL Ryan, and of course, please follow the website at the QB List and all of our other writers. How's it going, Ryan?
It's going pretty well. I actually feel like we have a couple of semi-interesting guys to talk about this week, which is a nice change from the last couple of weeks. So
yeah, I think since like week four, maybe is the first time we're not like, this is terrible. This is terrible. Don't do anything.
Yeah, we're getting a nice positive change of pace for the show opening.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the optimist this time. But again, this is for 40% and under. For week 11, you know, it's a shorter list. I think we have six guys, but I do, like we said, there's like four solid ones, I would think. So why don't we just get right into it?
Yeah. So first, we've got Salvon Ahmed on the Dolphins. He's 5% owned. This weekend, he saw 44 snaps to Laird's 10 and Washington's 4. He really dominated the snap share. And I mean, the Dolphins put up 29 points this week against the Chargers defense. So this is really an offense that could be holding some value for a starting running back in it, as we've kind of talked about before. He did handle 21 of the team's 26 rushing attempts, turned it into 86 yards and a touchdown. We know Myles Gaskin is out at least one more week, potentially more, but at least one more week because of the IR rules. Yeah. And with Breida, I mean, we still don't really know too much about his, I think it was his hamstring injury.
Yeah, they said
it was, we talked about, but yeah.
They said it was like he was like a maybe, but then they held him out again. So I don't know. He could be back next week.
Yeah, but I mean, Ahmed played pretty well. He ran pretty hard. The stat that really popped to my eyes was 7 rushing attempts inside the red zone and a target inside the red zone. I mean, this shows that that of who was active, it seems like they trust him the most there, and he's going to get those high value touches. So I mean, he's a pretty solid ad, especially at this point in the season, like someone that you can potentially play in your RB2 slot and feel all right about it. Like I'm in, honestly.
Yeah. He's kind of exactly what we were hoping Breeder or DeAndre Washington would be. You know, at the time we didn't really know that he was going to be the one getting all the work. But he did look pretty impressive running the ball, and they just cut Jordan Howard today, so he's completely out of the picture as well. So it kind of has opened up for him. Again, like we said, we don't really know what Matt Breida is, but honestly, after Ahmed's performance, I can't imagine that they would want to start mixing in Breida all that much more. So I do think for the short term, he's definitely a solid ad that I could even see like flexing or RB being an RB2. You know, he kind of just did exactly what Myles Gaskin did right out of the gate.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if I'm like, I'm just trying to think, like, if I'm holding Myles Gaskin on a roster, what I would be thinking or doing right now, which I am holding him on a few rosters.
But I mean, I would grab Ahmed, and I don't know. It wouldn't completely shock me if Gaskin's phased out, but you can't say that for sure at all.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think it could, maybe when he comes back, it could turn into a split. Yeah. But at least for this week, I would say just play Ahmed in your RB2. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the matchup isn't that bad or going to scare you away at all. So I think he's a fine option. And the offense, you know, with Tua has looked pretty solid. You know, people are a little bit worried, like, what is it going to look like without Ryan Fitzpatrick? But, it's been smooth.
Yeah. I mean, he opens up some more holes for sure than Fitz does. And, I mean, it seems like he's really starting to click in the offense. So, and I mean, this team is on its way to the playoffs.
Like, yeah.
I mean, as a Pats fan, it is pissing me off to no end, like watching what's happening in the AFC East right now. But yeah. Like this is how the Dolphins are this year. So
playing catch up there.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to our next guy. We have Michael Pittman Jr. He's still at 9% owned. We just talked about him, I think, like two weeks ago, maybe three. But, you know, I just felt like this was a good spot to talk about him again after his performance on Thursday night. He had 8 targets for 7 catches and 101 yards. The last 2 weeks, he's played 87% and 81% of the snaps. He clearly is looking like probably the lead wide receiver now on this team. Again, we've talked about ad nauseum. You know, we want rookie wide receivers. They perform much better during the second half of the season, you know, getting more acclimated and teams integrating them more into the offense. And he has a pretty solid upcoming schedule. You know, he plays at Houston Texans twice, Vegas, Tennessee, I think Green Bay next week. Like, it's nothing that you want to shy away from, other than Green Bay if Jaire Alexander is playing, but he missed this week, so that's a possibility. But, you know, I think he's definitely a solid ad that can be, you know, blossoming right now at the perfect time heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, like you said, that schedule is really attractive for sure. Like, I mean that could be a scenario where he's putting up wide receiver two numbers every single week.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't even shock me that much. I mean, there's no, like, we've gone through every single Colts receiver on this show this year. Yeah. So there's really nobody left.
I think we finally found the guy.
Yeah, I think we have too. Like, I think in the beginning of the year we had the guy with Campbell, but then it's taken the team really a while to really integrate Pittman and get him healthy and get the offense clicking. But yeah, I think Pittman is the guy in this offense for the rest of the year at the very least.
Yeah, and he has the size and speed, which is exactly what you're looking for in a number one for them. And you know, Hilton clearly has looked not himself at all this year, even like stretching into last year too. So I think it's time that Pittman kind of assumes that role.
Yeah, it's definitely a changing of the guard, and it's been about time for a couple years with Hilton. But yeah.
All right, let's go to number three.
All right, so next we've got LaMichael P. Ryan on the Jets. There have been reports out that he's likely to be the lead back for the rest of the year. It seems like the Jets really want to work him in above Frank Gore after the bye. Yeah. This year we've seen like a strong trend of rookie RBs seeing more usage after the bye. Like, we saw it with DeAndre Swift, we saw it with Dobbins. So that, like, I'm not saying that it's like a guaranteed breakout game, but I mean, They're getting Darnold back eventually, maybe, right?
Not the thing they just came out with.
Not this week. But I mean, we could maybe, like we've said this before too, but maybe the Jets won't be as horrible as they have been. And I mean, he could see volume. I mean, I'm not convinced LaMichael P. Ryan himself is like this special player, but I mean, he's someone that you could stash that could maybe see some volume down the stretch. Like, I wouldn't be comfortable plugging him in this week necessarily, but a little bit more of a long-term play, like towards the end of the year, if you're looking at the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah. And I mean, your team just saw firsthand, like, their offense looked all right against the Patriots. Like, that's all you need to see. You know what I mean? And as long as you're putting up that level or even just slightly under that, like, you can have usable pieces. We're going to talk about one later on. I think, but like you were saying, you don't think he's like all that much of a special player, and I agree with you too, but like, look at it, we just talked about Salvin Ahmed. I don't think he's like amazing or incredible.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Had these incredible traits, but at least we know they're good enough to play, you know what I mean? And if you're getting the lead back role and things like that, like, this has value, especially with potential injuries coming up. You know, there's been a ton of running back injuries, or probably be more, so I think P. Ryan's a good stash at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're at the point where you can justify using a bench spot on LaMichael P. Ryan, especially if you aren't needing help from your bench in the next couple of weeks, like trying to fight for a playoff spot. Right. Like, that's a move that I could endorse for sure.
Yeah, and kind of leading in from that, I guess that goes to our fourth spot, and we have Devontae Booker here. He's 3% old, but this is kind of a placeholder for just stashing, you know, potential good backup running backs. Booker has been solid behind Jacobs the past few weeks. He's kind of had some nice touchdowns. He had like 13 carries this past week. It was a blowout game, but they were getting him involved. And, you know, you can see Booker clearly having a workhorse type role if anything were to happen to Josh Jacobs. And this is the exact time, like, if you're, you know, in a nice playoff spot, you have a bit of a cushion, I would be churning that bench, trying to get potential handcuffs right now. You know, other examples, we have, you know, Alexander Mattison's at 35%. I know he kind of disappointed a lot of people with his performance, but he's still absolutely worth it. Benny Snell's at 5% to an injury-prone Connor. And Connor hasn't looked all that incredible the last 2 weeks. He had two pretty solid matchups and has failed to clear like 50 yards in both of them. So I think, you know, this is the time we want to chase these guys, hold them on the bench, and just, you know, have that lottery ticket.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're looking to do if you, if your team is in really good position for the playoffs, because you really just want to hit on that one guy that can kind of put you over the top in the last week or two, where you're like at the point where you're playing like an RB2 level guy in your flex. That's like really what wins you the fantasy championships.
Yep.
The only thing I'd add is with Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland has been inactive recently. So it's, if Snell does, if something does happen to Connor, then Snell does have a lot, have less competition for that backfield role in that potential scenario too. So just like these little things that we kind of try to pick up on right now.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Booker has kind of shown that he's playing ahead of, I mean, Rashard, I don't think played really at all, or got any snaps or anything like that. So Booker is the guy in this backfield. And that's why it was a little something that we kind of noticed that we want to let you guys know, get out and ahead of it. He's, you know, he's only 3% owned. It seems like no one's even looking at him right now. So.
Yeah. And I mean, we've got a decent record with getting out ahead of these guys. Like we're talking about Pittman again, like all
All right. Number five.
All right. Number five. I
heard that sigh.
Yeah. Yeah. You knew what was coming. I debated even like even wanting to talk about him, but
yeah,
we got Sammy Watkins. Yeah. It's Sammy Watkins, everybody. He's at 37% owned. I can't imagine why 37% of people are rostering him while he's injured. But he should be returning from injury soon. He was ruled out fairly late this week. I mean, he's got the wide receiver two role on the Patrick Mahomes offense. I mean, I kind of question if wide receiver two for Pat Mahomes is actually a valuable role. Like, it seems like we've really wanted it to be for the last couple of years, but I like it's not. And I'm again, maybe it's just because it's Sammy Watkins, but I mean, like these guys have been trying to shuffle in like Hardman, Robinson, Byron Pringle. They haven't really done much either, so there's not a whole lot to stop Watkins from walking back in and maybe having a game or two. But that, I mean, this is, he's someone that you can maybe throw into a desperation flex play. But I mean, and again, it's a hamstring injury, which those can linger and are likely to linger given Sammy Watkins' history. But I mean, he's someone that could potentially be on your radar.
Yeah, and you know, I think this is a clear break from like the top of our list. But I do think, you know, like you said, Hardman, Pringle, these guys, they didn't really do too much. Sammy Watkins is going to walk back into his role, no problem. And while, you know, these guys didn't do all too much, Mahomes has played excellently lately. I mean, he's backed in right into the MVP conversation and things. So I think Watkins, there will be weeks that are he's usable. He had a few early in the year too, I want to say. So I just think that, you know, he's someone you want to hold on to. Who knows? There's a Tyreek Hill injury too. Like, Sammy Watkins is going to be pretty valuable as well.
That's also true. Yeah. I mean, a Tyreek Hill injury would make Sammy Watkins immediately a must start, I would say.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, yeah, he's not a terrible guy to stash. I mean, we're like, again, like you said, after these first four guys we've talked about, there's not really a whole lot to get super excited about, but there's some appeal here.
Yeah. And then finally, we have Brashad Perriman, 8% owned. I kind of alluded to him earlier. Last game against the Patriots, he had 7 targets for 5 catches at 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's always been a pretty solid player, even though he's been bouncing around the last few years. You know, but this is what you're going to get out of him. You're going to get those spike weeks that he just had against the Patriots. And like we said, we've been saying the Jets offense isn't going to be this terrible the whole time. So, you know, having someone who can provide those spike weeks in a pinch for you is valuable to have. And he is the number one wide receiver on this offense. Mims has looked pretty impressive too as a rookie, but I think, you know, it's valuable to have a piece like him just in a pinch. You need a guy, you know, at least you can have the chance that he's going to go off a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we are going to see some more Mims coming out of the bye, but Perriman does seem to have the role locked up. And like you said, he does have some weekly upside like that. That's nothing to sneeze at for sure. Kind of like sort of in the same vein as Watkins, except just on a horrible offense.
Yeah, two sides of the same coin in a way. But we've seen Perriman have, you know, played well down the stretch, like the last 2 years in Cleveland and then in Tampa last year. Like, he's put up strong fantasy performances pretty consistently, and I can see him doing that again.
Yeah, I mean, wow. I'm not even sure if I have a strong opinion on whether Breshad Perriman or Sammy Watkins is a better player, come to think of it.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in their careers, I might go Perriman.
Yeah, like, wow, I can't believe this is where we're at.
I know. I mean, they're both yeah. pretty much busted out of there from the first round. So,
were they the same draft class? Or was Perriman the year before him? I can't remember.
I think Perriman was the year after, actually, because Sammy was with Odell and Mike Evans and all.
Yeah, Sammy was 14.
Yeah. Perriman might have been like 15.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, blast from the past either way. I'm glad that's the comparison we get to make today in 2020.
a fitting way to end week 11 waivers. All right. Well, I think that's everybody we have. You don't have any honorable mentions or anything like that, right?
No, just stash those running backs like we said. Yeah,
stash the running backs. I mean, I guess if you're desperate, maybe Jameis Winston. Do we even want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Dude, post LASIK Jameis Winston, I'm all in.
I mean, he's got Michael Thomas and Kamara. Like, I could see some all right weeks if you're desperate at quarterback right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Drew Brees has been setting the world on fire either. Like, I think he can fill those shoes for at least a few games this year, depending on how long Brees is out. But yeah, I'm still positive on Jameis Winston. I realize I'm kind of alone in that assessment, but
no, I mean, I don't think he's bad. I mean, I see if he can fix, you know, his turnover issue. I think the story here is that the Saints gave Taysom Hill like $21 million, and they're not even going to put him behind.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah. Like what were we doing there? You know what I mean? So I think maybe we can finally close the book on Taysom Hill.
Yeah. Don't get me started on Taysom Hill, man.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got for you guys. So thanks for listening to our Week 11 Waiver Wire podcast. I'm your host, Frank Costanzo. You can follow me on Twitter at FrankQBList. You can follow Ryan at QBLRyan. You can follow the website at the QB List. Please, you know, like and subscribe. Listen to all our other podcasts. You know, Miles, Eric, and Callan for Start Sit. Kenny and Rich on the No Huddle podcast. Mike, Eric, and Miles for What We Saw. All right. Thanks, everybody.